From Hamilton, Ontario, this is the Green Planet Monitor, your weekly report on Earth systems, human development, justice, and science. Today, Canadian financial institutions heavily invested in Israeli occupation, apartheid, and genocide in Palestine. This is the Green Planet Monitor. I'm David Kattenberg. Before diving in, a quick appeal. If you appreciate what you're hearing, help us out. Subscribe to the Green Planet Monitor at greenplanetmonitor.net. Now, the news with Kylie Wong.
New Zealand's $86 billion Superfund acted unlawfully by failing to account for human rights in its investment decisions, a high court judge has ruled. The case, brought by New Zealand's Palestine Solidarity Network, challenged fund holdings tied to Israeli settlements in occupied Palestinian territories. Settlements are illegal under the Fourth Geneva Convention and a war crime under the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. A 2022 policy revision in New Zealand's Superfund removed references to international human rights standards, including the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights. This weakened oversight, High Court Justice Cook ruled, making the framework unreasonable and unlawful. The fund must now rewrite its investment policies, reopening scrutiny of its controversial holdings. We will thoroughly evaluate today's decision and determine how best to respond to it, said Joe Townsend, the fund's chief executive. New research suggests a major Atlantic Ocean current may be slowing down, raising fears of cascading climate breakdown. The Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, also known as the Gulf Stream, delivers warm tropical waters to the North Atlantic that sink, driving ocean circulation. Scientific models now predict a 42 to 58% slowdown in the current by 2100, potentially resulting in abnormally cold weather in Europe, disrupted rainfall in Africa and the Americas, and sea level rise up to 1 meter in the Atlantic. I now am increasingly worried that we may well pass that shutdown tipping point, where it becomes inevitable, says German ocean scientist Stefan Ramsdorf. Sperm whale vocal clicks may function like an alphabet, challenging long-held assumptions about animal communication. Whales communicate through patterned sequences of clicks that act like a phonetic alphabet, a recent study says. These clicks can vary in length, pitch, and rhythm, producing vowel-like sounds similar to human speech. The study, led by Cetacean Translation Initiative, SETI, identified whale vocal patterns comparable to humans. I think it's another humbling moment. We're not the only species with rich, communicative, communal, and cultural lives, says SETI's founder and president, David Gruber. As wildfire season approaches, Canadian insurers are pressing Prime Minister Mark Carney to prioritize climate action. Extreme weather linked to climate change has pushed insurance claims to record levels, over $9 billion in 2024. Faced with spiraling costs, insurance providers are calling for wider use of fire-resistant materials, stronger building codes, limits on construction in high-risk areas, and improved flood protection. Ottawa's housing plans could place hundreds of thousands of new homes in flood and wildfire zones, insurance providers say. With hotter conditions expected, they add, inadequate climate policy could worsen future losses and strain affordability. We've got to stop this problem from getting worse, says Liam McGinty, Vice President of Federal Affairs at the Insurance Bureau of Canada. Israel-USA's war on Iran is likely to result in elevated global poverty, a recent UN report says. The report describes a triple shock of surging energy prices, rising food costs, and slowing economic growth, driven by disruptions in oil and gas supplies and strained global trade. Developing countries are expected to suffer the most. Development in reverse is how Alexander De Croo, administrator of the UN Development Program, describes the situation. Even if fighting stops, economic damage is already unfolding, he says. And planet Earth's nights are getting brighter, unevenly. New data reveals a volatile mix of cities that brighten, then darken in times of crisis. Based on over a million satellite images taken between 2014 and 2022, researchers found a net 16% increase in global nighttime brightness. However, this growth is uneven. While global radiance rose sharply, some regions dimmed due to energy-saving policies or economic decline. Asia saw the biggest increases tied to urbanization, while parts of Europe dimmed significantly because of efficiency measures and the 2022 energy crisis. These shifting patterns reflect economic activity, conflict, and policy changes, scientists say, describing Earth's changing light levels as a flickering signal of human impact. And that's the news.
financial sector is deeply involved in supporting Israel's unlawful occupation of Palestine, bankrolling Israeli apartheid and genocide in both Palestine and Lebanon. That's the finding of a new report released on April 9th by the Canadian group Just Peace Advocates. Over 100 Canadian financial institutions have invested $500 billion U.S. dollars in Israeli activities deemed unlawful by the International Court of Justice and other human rights bodies. The report reveals among these 11 Canadian pension funds, 8 banks, 7 insurance companies, and 85 fund managers. By investing in weapons and surveillance systems destined for apartheid Israel and in the plundering of Palestinian natural resources, these institutions are complicit in the commission of internationally wrongful acts, including the crimes of apartheid and genocide, the Just Peace Advocates report says. Disclosure gaps mean total investments are likely higher. The Carney government must force Canadian corporations to divest, the report says. We spoke with the report's authors. Becca Steckley is a campaigner with Just Peace Advocates. So this report exposes more than 100 Canadian financial institutions invested in $526 billion U.S. dollars in companies complicit in Israel's occupation, apartheid, and genocide. Who are these institutions, Becca? Well, what are they and who are they? And there are various categories of them. Who are they?
Yeah. So,
and what are they investing in? Two separate questions.
Yeah. So you mentioned at the beginning there's pension plans, banks, insurance companies, and then other investment managers that might be investing personal savings or might have other be investing for other institutions that aren't disclosed. And so there's this includes major pension plans like the Canada Pension Plan, the Quebec Pension Plan through Le Caisse de Dépôt, CDPQ, as well as other public pensions that quite a large portion of Canadians are invested indirectly through in terms of paying into our pensions. So major ones like the Alberta Pension Plan through AIMCO, BCI, as well as like Healthcare Ontario Pension Plan. So those are major ones and are incredibly concerning because that's pensions are how we invest our money to be able to continue to live when we finish working. But the reality is they are our livelihood past retirement as possible because they're investing in these complicit companies. So the companies, you mentioned some of the things that these companies are investing in, like military, natural resource exploitation, the financial sector. So companies like, there's a broad range. There's companies like Expedia, which is a common, most people probably know Expedia as a common travel company, but they actually offer vacations. They offer travel to occupied Palestinian territory and in a way that marks it as quote unquote Israel. So there's companies like that to companies like Caterpillar, which is a major construction company that depending where you are in the world, you might see Caterpillar construction equipment in your city as you're passing a construction site. And those machines are being used by Israel in occupied Palestine to destroy homes, Palestinian homes. And then we have companies like Lockheed Martin, Elbit Systems, very known large weapons manufacturers that are manufacturing and supplying weapons to the Israeli military to commit these heinous acts of genocide.
Companies like Palantir.
Yes, notorious Palantir, who, if you see in the report, you'll see photos of the Palantir CEO and founders with high-ranking Israeli government officials. Palantir is notorious not only in Israel, but also supporting U.S. government agencies like ICE and others across the world, but deeply, deeply problematic companies that are actively carrying out crimes and these pensions, these banks, these insurance companies are investing in them and trying to claim neutrality because they're not carrying out the actions themselves. They're just quote unquote investing, which they think means that they're not actively taking part in these crimes.
And under the category of pension funds, you mentioned the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board tops the list of pension funds, somewhere over $36 million, million, billion,
Billion.
$36 billion that the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board has invested in companies that are engaged in nefarious activities in the occupied Palestinian territories. Royal Bank of Canada, $108 billion. Sun Life is the major insurance company investing in these activities, $65 billion. It's hard to imagine a sector of the Israeli economy or an institution that is not engaged in Israel's occupation in some way, shape, or form. Like Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories is totally institutionalized. There isn't a sector that isn't involved in it or engaged in it. So it almost seems that it's impossible to invest in anything in Israel without actually being exposed to crimes that Israel is committing.
Yeah, that is a great point. It's if you think about Israel, the reality is, as a state, it's an apartheid state. As a state, it is committing genocide, and its occupation, illegal occupation, has been going on for decades. The reality is, if you pick a sector and you look at it, if you look at the financial sector, Israeli banks are bankrolling the ongoing annexation and appropriation of Palestinian land. If you look at tech, they're supplying tech for the military. And so the companies that we, the database we use is a compilation that is based, we don't include all Israeli companies, but if there's any evidence that they are in any way supporting the occupation, the apartheid regime, the genocide, they are complicit. They don't have to be supplying weapons to be complicit. There's lots of ways that they are upholding and perpetuating the state of Israel's crimes.
How do you document these investments? It's not easy to find out who's investing in what. It's pretty opaque. Some institutions, as a practice, as policy, reveal what their investments are, like the Canada Pension Plan or the Quebec Pension Plan. But a lot of other investment managers and banks, they don't reveal who they're investing in. So how do you find out who's investing in what?
Yeah, so we, maybe not surprisingly, companies don't want to disclose their investments. Now, they'll often say that's for proprietary reasons. They don't want their investment strategies to be released. But I think more so the reality is they don't want to be held accountable for what they're investing and whether that's to do with Palestine or whether that's to do with fossil fuels or weapons manufacturers more broadly. So we are limited to either required disclosure or voluntary disclosure. In most cases, institutions don't voluntarily disclose their investments. So the CPP, Canada Pension Plan, and the Quebec Pension Plan through CDPQ are legislatively, by the laws, required to disclose their investments every year. So that is one way that we can analyze them, and we do that as a separate report. The other way that we can look at investments is through what we've done here, which is through the US Securities and Exchange Commission, so the US SEC. And some companies, whether they're located in the US or outside of it, are required to disclose their investments to the SEC. Now that's I won't get into that of who is required to disclose, but those companies that do have a requirement to disclose their investments to the SEC, that information is publicly available. So that's the information we then can use to analyze complicity. Now, there's still limitations. So obviously, not all Canadian financial institutions have to disclose to the SEC. If you look at the report, only one credit union, Vancity, is included. The other credit unions in Canada, to our knowledge and through our research, are not required to disclose. So we don't have information on those investments. Additionally, even those entities that have to disclose to the US SEC, so anybody in the report, Scotiabank, RBC, CPP, the investments that they're listing to the US SEC are only a portion of their total investments. And that's because, again, they don't have to report all of their investments. They only need to report those companies that are essentially listed on the on a US exchange. And so that means we don't have Canadian companies that are only listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange, for example, aren't included in any of the disclosures to the US SEC. So there's plenty of companies that, even if, say, RBC is invested in them and they're complicit, they don't have to be disclosed to the SEC, which means that this is just a fraction of the potential complicit investments that these companies have in their portfolios.
It's an underestimate.
Yeah, very likely.
And yet, over $500 trillion annually, that's quite an underestimate.
It is, and I think it's hard to grasp that number. Like as we were doing the report, obviously you just see numbers and then you start to think like this is $500 billion. Like most of us in the world can't grasp what that really means. And these are significant financial institutions, whether it's pensions that contribute massively to the Canadian economy or our biggest banks. They have billions, hundreds of billions of dollars invested in actively supporting the crimes Israel is carrying out in Palestine. And that is something that they'd like to distance themselves from. But those companies that are actively committing crimes in occupied Palestine can't do that without the financial backing that these investments provide.
Forgive the thunderstorm that's taking place in the background here.
No problem. We had that this morning as well.
So, what's the legal basis for saying, corporations should not be investing in Israeli companies that are engaged in apartheid or genocide? On what basis can do Just Peace advocates and other human rights organizations say that these companies are obliged not to invest and the Canadian government is obliged to oblige them not to invest?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways. One is through international law. So the International Court of Justice in July 2024 put out an updated ruling, advisory opinion about Israel's illegal occupation. And they make it very clear, not necessarily just saying new things, but reiterating what has been true in the past. But they say that states have a responsibility to not support the illegal occupation.
And paragraph 278 of the July 2024 advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice, which is the international community's highest judicial body, it's one of the components of the United Nations, says member states are under an obligation not to recognize the occupation, which it deems to be illegal, and they must abstain from entering into economic or trade dealings with Israel concerning the occupied Palestinian territory or parts thereof, which may entrench its unlawful presence in the territory. And they have to take steps, member states have to take steps like Canada to prevent trade or investment relations that assist in the maintenance of the illegal situation created by Israel in the occupied territories.
Exactly. And so that means that Canada has a legal responsibility to take action and ensure that. So there's kind of two levels. There's the level of the government itself. So something like the Canada Pension Plan is a government entity. It is created through the government. So the government of Canada has full control in theory. I mean, it's separate in terms of to be careful of conflicts and things like that. But it is created through a law of the government. And so the Canadian government needs to ensure that none of its investments or its entities, its agencies are investing in any companies that support, aid, abet, the illegal occupation. There's also a lot of these companies are private companies or non-governmental entities. Some of them are public pension plans, some of them are private companies, like so a lot of these investment managers. That does not relieve them of their legal duties. So in two ways. One, after the advisory opinion came out in July, a UN commission released a position paper on the advisory opinion, essentially laying out some practical, what does this mean for member states? And they were very clear that that means member states, so Canada, doing their due diligence to ensure that corporations, nonprofits, any entities registered in their jurisdiction are not supporting the occupation. And if they are, to take action against that, including things like removing their corporation status. So the government of Canada has a lot of power, but not just power, they have a legal responsibility to do that.
And these prohibitions are actually embedded within Canadian domestic law, like the Rome
Exactly.
Statute. The Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court is embedded in Canadian law as the Crimes Against Humanity and War Crimes Act, and the Fourth Geneva Convention is embedded in Canadian law as the Canadian Geneva Conventions Act.
Exactly. We don't need to rely on the International Court of Justice to hold the government of Canada responsible. It's actually, we have laws here in Canada that make those things illegal. And further, so international law largely is about holding member states, countries responsible, or the leaders of these countries responsible. But Canadian law does allow and does create legal liability for individuals, board members, CEOs, entities themselves to be held responsible under the criminal code of Canada as well for aiding and abetting. And so while a lot of the responsibility when we think of international law falls on states or countries, in Canada, there's actually legal responsibility under Canadian law of all individuals and entities. So whether that's an investment manager, an insurance company, a pension, to not support the illegal occupation. And that can be used to hold these individuals or these individual companies responsible outside of the government being held accountable for their legal responsibility as well.
And of course, you can imagine that if a Canadian financial institution were known to be investing in Russian arms manufacturing companies, or in Iranian arms manufacturing companies, or in arms manufacturing activities in Venezuela or China, the Attorney General of Canada would act immediately. And of course, it's the responsibility of the Attorney General of Canada to engage these statutes and to take action. And they would in the cases that I've just described. But in the case of Israel, I mean, the Carney government, the Trudeau government before it, was absolutely committed to its passionate attachment and friendship with Israel. It's difficult to get the Canadian government to actually implement its own domestic laws that involve crimes that are committed internationally, unlawful acts committed in other countries.
Yes, it's what we see is the Canadian government using the laws it has, like you said, against in other instances, so against Russia, for example, and also using laws like sanctioning for years, like Iran, which actually is part of an imperial agenda to that harms individuals. Meanwhile, Canada supports actively the Israeli state to continue carrying out these crimes. And I think it is unsurprising when we consider the reality that Canada is a settler colonial state, and therefore to acknowledge Israel's actions as a settler colonial state is would be to convict themselves and confess that they themselves are still carrying out an ongoing genocide of Indigenous peoples here on Turtle Island. And so it's not surprising when we see where the Canadian government focuses its actions and is selective in the way it applies international and domestic law. And so, unfortunately, it's not surprising to see the Canadian government show what seems like eternal support for Israel. And
And
so,
yet the Canadian government, all Canadian governments since 1967 have held the position that Israel's settlement enterprise in the occupied territories is unlawful and has no legal basis and is an impediment, fatal impediment to achieving a two-state solution, which all Canadian governments have always said is absolutely essential. But when it comes to Canadian corporations supporting the settlement enterprise, it's pretty hard to, I don't think you can find a single corporate entity in Israel, banking, insurance, manufacturing, utilities, that isn't engaged in the occupation. So Canada is not, the Canadian government's not prepared to put a halt to that investment, even though it says that the objects of the investment are illegal.
yeah, exactly. You make a great point. Yeah, the Canadian government written policy about settlements is very clear that they are recognizes that they are illegal, but it absolutely fails to take any action that aligns with that. They may make some limited statements about ongoing annexation efforts, but even when they do, they fail to take any concrete action that would actually put the government policy into action, for lack of a better word.
And these corporations, these financial institutions, to the extent that groups like Just Peace Advocates engages in dialogue with them, a lot of these, or with other human rights organizations who are applying pressure, their typical response is, oh, either like we didn't know, or we don't know, or we're arm's length, we're investment managers, and we really have no control over what a company that a bank is investing in is doing. So it isn't really our responsibility.
Yes, exactly. They would like to think that investing millions of dollars in companies that are carrying out war crimes and genocide and apartheid is somehow ethically neutral just because they're not on the ground themselves as investment managers carrying out the crimes, which is really absurd to think about because companies that do carry on these activities in occupied Palestine and the occupied Syrian Golan can only do that because of the financial backing. And so it's an attempt to distance themselves from legal responsibility. Often, investment managers, whether through a pension or bank or just the investment management company themselves, will often, like you said, say, like, we can't really do it. Like, we're at arm's length. We can't really do anything about it. When in reality, we know that they can.
What are the prospects, Becca Steckley, for the Canadian government, the Carney government, which is now majority government? What are the prospects that the Carney government will honor its obligation to abstain from entering into economic or trade dealings with Israel concerning the occupied Palestinian territory, as mandated to do so by the advisory opinion of July 2024? And when this came up before the UN General Assembly, I don't know, 8 months later, and not quite that long, September 2024, and overwhelmingly, the advisory opinion was overwhelmingly adopted by member states, but Canada abstained. Canada abstained from that vote in the UN General Assembly, adopting the advisory opinion. So my question is, what are the prospects for the Carney government? I mean, Mr. Carney is a champion of the rules-based international order. He talks about the rules-based international order. He doesn't talk about the UN Charter. He doesn't talk about international law. He talks about trade law, basically.
A good question. I think, unfortunately, it's not looking positive. I think even if we look at the Canada abstention in 2024, that was still the Trudeau government. And Carney has come in and has been very clear about trying to invest in more.